You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's happening, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Happy Wednesday, wherever you're at, all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior NFL analyst at Pro Football Network and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos. Today's episode, Locked On Broncos, is brought to you by our good friends over there at Built Bar, folks. And Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar that is out there, and the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever before. They features amazing flavors, up to 18 altogether, including nut and non-nut flavors. Very tasty. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew, and they're healthy, folks. If you're health conscious, it helps you lose or maintain weight while also allowing you to indulge in a delicious treat. The bars are also low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. And you can get your hands on a box of Built Bar by going to BuiltBar.com and using promo code Locked On. That's going to get you 20% off your next order. Once again, use promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. I'll tell you a little bit about them a little bit later on as the show progresses, folks, but we have a lot to talk about in today's episode, Locked On Broncos. I was driving in my car yesterday and it was pouring down snow in beautiful Colorado, and I was thinking to myself, here on January 27, 2021, where did the Denver Broncos sit right now in comparison to the rest of the AFC West? Now, and I would say that it is our way too early prediction, but, you know, some of the AFC West teams outside of Kansas City, I think everybody's below Kansas City in terms of tiers. There is obviously, I think, some room for debate and some discussion as to maybe where Denver is at altogether right now and where Denver can be and what factors could put them ahead of maybe the Chargers or the Raiders. What could put them to compete against Kansas City? We'll talk about that. We also share some Broncos fans' responses with that. Plus, we have a very special portion of today's episode of the show, a tribute to Kobe Bryant. As we all know, we approach the one-year anniversary of him and his daughter's passing alongside nine other amazing human beings, unfortunately, in a very tragic accident altogether. But one of our shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Rejecting the Screen, hosted by Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko, they're airing a two-day special of Kobe Bryant's stories as told to them over the years from the people around the National Basketball Association. So with that said, folks, let's get into today's action on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. Throwing it out to the question as to where the Broncos rank right now as it stands today, January 27, 2021. Where do the Broncos stand in terms of the rest of the AFC West altogether? And I think that this is a very debatable cause. Now, we can look at the overall record of 2020, and look, Denver was definitely at the bottom there in comparison alongside the Los Angeles Chargers. But there's also some factors, too, I think, that you can move up the list, because right now you look across the NFL, you got media personalities that are doing their power rankings for the 2021 NFL season. And, while it is a little too early, I think that there's things, some certain factors that impact it. I think every team in the AFC West last year, during the season, before the season, that's impacted them. And some AFC West teams have also made a couple of moves as well that I think really kind of influence that. And I'm going to share my thoughts as well. So I asked Broncos country where they rank the Broncos amongst the rest of the AFC West as it stands today. And if they're at the bottom or if they're lower, you know, what do they believe would put them ahead of other teams in the division? And David Pulsifer is going to start things off right here. He puts Kansas City at the top at number one. He puts the Los Angeles Chargers at number two. He's got Denver at number three, and then the Las Vegas Raiders at number four. And he says the only reason that the Broncos are higher than Las Vegas is because the Raiders overall, they're a poorly run organization with bad ownership. Denver is in real trouble if George Payton can't turn things around and ownership isn't settled. I think in terms of ownership situation, I think a lot of people think that. I think the Raiders have gotten better, which, you know, if you're a Broncos fan, you're not going to like me saying that. But when I look at where the Broncos are at, I look at the Raiders roster. I'd say the AFC West roster-wise, I think each team has a very talented roster that could be very damn explosive offensively. I think that, you know, certain teams outmatch, you know, in certain categories, certain positions, obviously. But I think that the Raiders have a very strong roster, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense, however, is probably the weakest link. Now, you can make the same argument for Denver. Defensively, Denver has a pretty strong defense, pretty damn good defense, but their offense is very young. Very inconsistent based on 2020. And obviously there's questions at the quarterback position we don't have answers for just yet. We are waiting to see what George Payton does in terms of some of his first moves that are going to give us an idea as to maybe where the Broncos lie before the 2021 season begins. At GRNLTRN06 on Twitter says, the Broncos are third with the Chargers last. The Broncos need defensive back help and really level up on offense. They need to be more aggressive, score more points offensively. Vic Fangio needs to get better with game management, and he's also curious who they'll replace at DB coach. One thing he said is, I'm still surprised that the special teams coordinator still has a job. Well, to answer your question here, or to give my thoughts on it, the Broncos could still make some coaching staff changes. They really could. Now, in terms of defensive back coach, like I said, I threw it out on yesterday's episode of the show. Chris Beat could be an internal candidate that moves up from defensive assistant to DB coach. They could be looking at bringing in somebody from around the National Football League. Not quite sure what's going to happen just yet with that, but obviously that's what the Broncos are looking into. And I also said it yesterday, I think that Vic Fangio's got to be more aggressive as a head coach next year. You know, we're seeing this spotlight on Brandon Staley, who went on, and I believe he's on the Pat McAfee show, and they asked him, they brought up the Aaron Rodgers situation, and he said, coach, what are you going to do with Justin Herbert, all the weapons that you have on offense, and it's 4th and 8. You're on the 8-yard line, it's 4th and goal, and you have 2 minutes plus 3 timeouts left, a 2-minute warning. What are you going to do? And look, he says you got to have trust in your guys. You got to be able to do that. And I think for Vic Fangio, I don't think he had a lot of trust in his offense to go for it on 4th down, to be aggressive, but he had faith in his defense, which we saw based on some of the decisions. But I do agree with you there. Now, here in just a moment, I'm going to give my thoughts as to where I have the Broncos ranked right now in the AFC West and why. And there's also a couple of factors I wanted to touch on, because a lot of people in the responses tend to think that quarterback is the answer to everything. And I want to counter by saying that's not true. But I'm going to get to that coming up here in just a moment, folks. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. That's our good friends over there at TurboTax and Echelon. And with TurboTax, you're one of a kind, and so are your taxes. And that's why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome possible. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process, since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe at home. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live tax experts are here to help and giving you the confidence you need to know that you're one of a kind. Uniquely, you taxes are done right. Intuit, TurboTax Live, and our good friends over there at Echelon. And when it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. I started off the new year. I weighed myself on Christmas. I said, look, I got to make some changes. And I've put those changes, I put the processes into action by being fit. And Echelon can help get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout, all from the comfort of your own home. And the EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. And the EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. And their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes that are always available whenever you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same exact time. And right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days by going to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. All right, let's continue our conversation here. Broncos country. You know, in terms of where the Broncos rank in the AFC West, according to me, I'm going to put them at third. I'm going to put the Raiders at fourth right now. And the reason I say that, and I want to give my justification here, the Chargers obviously would be at number 2 ahead of Denver. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of everybody at number 1 here. The reason I have the Raiders at the bottom right now, and if there's any Raiders fans that listen to this podcast, I know there's several. This isn't anything personal against the Raiders, because look, I have no dog in the fight either way. The thing that I wanted to point out, though, the Raiders offensively, they have talent, and they can put up points. They're super explosive. They can put up points at any given moment. They're one of the top-ranked offenses in the NFL this year, one of the best rushers in the NFL with Josh Jacobs. But that defense is such a massive concern for me. I mean, they have talent on the defensive side of the ball. Don't get me wrong, but they're a defense that gives up so much yardage, so many big plays on third down, so many plays inside the red zone based on 2020. that right now they haven't really made any necessary moves that are going to change my mind at the onset as it stands right now. Now, for me, we're going to have the same conversation after free agency and the NFL draft conclude. We're going to have our projections and obviously our ultimate division crossovers as to where the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the Chargers, where do we rank them going into the 2021 season in the division? Because what you do in the offseason can move you up or it can move you down the list. And if Denver is in a rebuild mode, they may slide to the bottom depending on what they do in free agency, depending on who they let go, who they decide to re-sign. All of this can impact them, right? And if they go really young in the NFL draft, if they try to just build through the draft, then they could obviously be in full-on rebuild mode exclusively. So they could change the course of maybe their narrative right now. Denver could end up being at the bottom when we have this conversation the next time. But I have the Raiders there right now because of their defense, because of the fact that there's still some question marks about this Raiders team. You know, John Gruden and that offense, they've improved year to year, but they've also struggled in some big moments. Now, we saw them compete and shoot out with Kansas City. They beat them in the first matchup, and then they had that shootout in that second matchup on Sunday Night Football in Las Vegas. Now, to me, that's great, right? You want to be able to put up points, but if you can't stop Patrick Mahomes, you can't stop anybody defensively, I don't think that you're going to be in that conversation. Now, Denver, from what I know and from what I've seen on tape, now, this is also depending on if the Broncos let Von Miller go, Shelby Harris, if they let him go or re-sign him, and whether or not they re-sign Justin Simmons. I believe that Denver is third right now in the AFC West because defensively, that's their strength. They're going to be getting guys back that had season-ending injuries in 2020. Offensively, they're going to be getting Cortland Sutton back, Albert Okwuegbunam alongside a healthy Noah Fant, Philip Lindsay more than likely coming back. The offensive line, for the most part, look, you got Garrett Bowles coming off of a Pro Bowl-type season, obviously a contract extension for him. Lloyd Cushenberry stepping into year number two. Dalton Risner going into year number three. And then when you have right guard, you have Graham Glasgow. Look, if he could stay healthy, I think he's really good for Denver on the interior offensive line. And then look, if Juwan James comes back, and let's say, hypothetically, let's say that he comes in and he plays really well, then you don't have the issue at right tackle for the most part. But I still think it needs to be something Denver addresses this offseason or through the NFL draft. So right now, I mean, all options are on the table. The Broncos could cut Juwan James, but I just don't see them doing that. I don't see George Payton getting into that financial kind of loophole right there. I don't see him getting in debt there with the dead cap just to get rid of Juwan James. If Juwan James can play, now if he doesn't play, I think they can probably cut him. But if Juwan James does play in 2021, you have to see what he can do for you and then move on after the 2021 NFL season. So Denver offensively, I think for the most part, you factor in all their skill players. Cortland Sutton, like I mentioned, coming back. You know, Tim Patrick could be back, but if that's the case, Denver has promised to be very good in the AFC West. Now, the biggest question for the offensive side of the ball is quarterback. But this is where I want to get into my discussion now, because there is a component, there is a debate right now on social media that having an elite quarterback is going to be the difference maker. You can make that argument, absolutely, right? You can take a look at what the Chiefs look like without Patrick Mahomes. They don't look as explosive or as effective. Mahomes is a difference maker. He's elite, right? He's in that tier. Justin Herbert's a pretty damn good quarterback. Is he elite yet? No, not quite, but he could be. Derek Carr, he's not an elite quarterback. He's a pretty good quarterback. He's an average quarterback that puts up above average numbers and production, but he still has some of his inconsistencies as well. Denver right now is bottom ranked in the AFC West when it comes to quarterbacks. So you can make the argument Denver could be bottom ranked specifically because of one position. However, I do want to throw out what we saw in the playoffs this past weekend with Josh Allen against the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Allen was playing at an elite level this season, an MVP type candidate in the regular season. And I didn't say he played that great in the playoffs. I think his game against the Colts, he was the offense, which is fine. But then you go against the game against the Ravens, I don't think he played that great. And you go against Kansas City, he played terrible. Drew Lock played better against Kansas City than Josh Allen played against Kansas City this year. Take that for what you want. It just goes to show that different teams play different players differently, which I know that's a lot. I just threw at you a lot of word cluster right there. But I think that that's definitely a component. Aaron Rodgers, we saw him. He should be the unanimous MVP this season. No question about it. Don't get me wrong. He should be the guy. But what we saw in the playoffs was what happens is when you have an elite quarterback, an MVP-type quarterback, but your defense doesn't get stops. You see them lose games. You see them make those big mistakes right before halftime. So I wanted to just break it down, and a lot of you that have played the game know this, but it's sometimes the tweets and the takes that you'll see from people that have never played the game of football, they think it's just exclusive to one position. You have to have legitimate cornerback play. You have to have legitimate pass rush. You have to have a strong defense in order to compete against the offensive element that is the National Football League today. I'm sorry, folks. There is no way around it. That's the nature of the game, and if you get caught up in the whole hearsay product of you have to have just an elite quarterback in order to win games. Having an elite quarterback is great. It's going to win you games. Don't get me wrong. But if you have a defense that struggles, that's bottom of the barrel in the NFL, you're not going to do too much consistently. You may win. You may go 500. But once you get to the playoffs, if you do get to the playoffs, you're going to struggle. You're going to be more than likely one and done. I think Denver is in a position where they're pretty good off defensively. I think, obviously, cornerback is a major, major, major area of concern right now. I believe the Broncos are going to be fine at defensive line. I think that the edge is going to be fine. I think linebacker is going to be fine. Right now, safety, if they can lock up Simmons and obviously pick up the option of Kareem Jackson, maybe restructure his contract, I think Denver's going to be good at safety. Cornerback is the main concern. Bryce Callahan in the nickel, that's great. Can he stay healthy? Michael Ojemudia coming into year number two. Can he take the next step? What about the other cornerback? What about the depth behind him? What about a true cornerback one? That, to me, is the biggest concern. Denver can't compete against Kansas City. We've seen that. Vic Fangio, apparently, when we look at the overall season, I'd say that Vic Fangio and Brian Flores are probably the two coaches that have devised a pretty good game plan against the Chiefs. Now, the Dolphins, they got away from that in that second half of that matchup, but Denver defensively this year in both matchups, they played really well against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why Vic Fangio went for it. Didn't go for it on fourth down. That's why he opted to punt the football away and see if his defense could get a stop. Now, I think that goes against the grain. You have to be aggressive in nature, especially when you have nothing to lose. Denver didn't do that, but Vic took a chance and relied on his defense. At some point, you have to balance out where you trust your players. You can trust your defense. That's great. I love that Vic trusts the Broncos defensively. However, I want him to trust the Broncos offense a lot more than he has. And granted, the players, the execution, it has to show that they're worth trusting. If they're not converting on third and one, if they're not converting second and one, if they go backwards on second and short, then obviously I would have a hard time trusting the offense too. So Denver's got to make improvements both on offense and defense, I think, to move up the ladder. But I'd say right now, projecting as it stands today, Denver, they are third right now in the AFC West. So hopefully they can move up the ladder to maybe number two this offseason, depending on what they do in free agency and the NFL draft. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to air a very special snippet from Rejecting the Screen with Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko on Kobe Bryant a year after he and nine others passed away in a very tragic accident altogether. We're going to hear some of the amazing stories told about Kobe Bryant from various folks around the NBA altogether. Coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the two other sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, BetOnline.ag and Built Bar. And BetOnline.ag, the Super Bowl weekend is next weekend, folks. It's a big time matchup. It's the last football game of the season before we get into the new NFL league year coming up. The Senior Bowl is obviously taking place this weekend as well, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. That is betonline.ag, and you can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag, and you can use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore. You can get in on the action at betonline.ag, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And our good friends over there at Built Bar, folks, and Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar that is out there on the market. They have 18 amazing flavors. A couple of my favorites are the caramel brownie, the peanut butter brownie, the double chocolate, and the salted caramel. And I love them because they taste exactly like a candy bar with the amazing flavors that I just listed. And the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew, and Built Bars are healthy. They're great for those who are health conscious like me. It allows me to lose or maintain weight while also indulging in a very delicious treat, because the bars, they are low calorie, they're low sugar, they're high protein and high fiber, and they're great for any kind of diet that you may be on like me. And you can get your hands and your taste buds wrapped around a Built Bar today by going to BuiltBar.com and using promo code LOCKEDON, and that's one word, LOCKEDON, to get 20% off your next order, courtesy of Lockdown Broncos. Once again, just use promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, LOCKEDON, to get 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
This is Adam Stanko from the Rejecting the Screen podcast. It's unfathomable to think that a year has passed since that you'll never forget where you were moment when we all found out Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, and seven others died tragically in a helicopter crash. Everyone associated with the NBA has a Kobe story, because he meant so much to so many of us. Our way to honor Kobe was to compile some of our favorite stories from interviews my co-host Noah Kozlov and I conducted with teammates, opponents, coaches, and writers who had something to say about the man who famously wore number 8 and number 24. We put together all of those stories, many of which you've never heard before, on a two-part podcast on Rejecting the Screen. part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're about to play an excerpt from part one, which drops on Tuesday, January 26th, with part two coming on January 28th. Subscribe to the pod today so you can listen to both episodes as soon as they're released. We pick up the story as Kobe was ranked as the top prep player in the nation, and his status as a local legend was exploding. There were even rumors of the Lower Merion High School prodigy practicing with the Sixers and dominating the Sixers star wing Jerry Stackhouse in games of one-on-one. Rex Walters was on the Sixers in 96 and told us how he remembered it.
Kobe did come to practices, or he would come afterwards and come work out at St. Joe's, because me not knowing who Kobe was, like, you know, once again, I didn't follow high school basketball. I was an NBA player. I wasn't into that. I'm sitting there. I'm leaving to go home. I'm kind of straightening up in the locker room, and Kobe sure enough walks in. And I'm like, just making conversation with this kid. I'm like, hey, you know, what you doing here? He's like, yeah, I'm going to go work out. And I'm like, oh, you're a pretty good player. Like, this guy had to be looking at me like, what are you, some kind of idiot or something? Because, you know, and then I'm like, well, you know, what schools you looking at? He's like, oh, you know, I'm talking to Kansas. I'm talking to Carolina. He's like, but there's one other thing I'm thinking about. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, well, hey, you know, Dean Smith was a great coach for Michael Jordan. You know, you should think about Carolina. Obviously, Coach Williams is my coach, great coach. You should think about those schools, trying to help out my guy. You know, next thing you know, next preseason game, this guy's freaking like, yelling over to his point guard, Nick Van Exel, like, hey, you know, I'm guarding. I'm like, I got a mouse over here. I got a mouse. I'm like, man, that's a little disrespectful. I tried to help you, my man, and you're calling mouse in the house on me. So obviously he had to be thinking to himself, what is this guy talking about?
So back to Kobe as the nation's top high school player and those rumors we are hearing of Kobe regularly beating Stackhouse one-on-one. We talked to Jeff Perlman, who wrote the incredible book, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Laker Dynasty. He said that story was all fabricated.
It's crap. Like, it's actually crap. It's just total BS. And it's funny because I reached out to, because you hear all these stories, right? You hear all these stories about Kobe, and he's with the Sixers and he's lighting them up and blah, blah, blah. And he was definitely a great player and definitely showed his skills. And the guys were like, yeah, this guy's going to be something. But I reached out to Stackhouse via Twitter. I profiled Stackhouse for the Wall Street Journal years ago. And I just reached out to him. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he wrote like, I'm sure like you, this is the first thing I think of when people say, will so-and-so regret having spoken about Kobe? Like, he basically said, I've never heard Kobe say they were true, but I've also never heard him say they were false. So F him. and like the thing that I think is really cool about Kobe and the Sixers workouts, he did not dominate Jerry Stackhouse, pure BS, but he took it to those guys. Imagine being, I remember I ran college, I ran cross country at University of Delaware. And I remember my first year freshman year, I went out to run with the rest of the team, and they're all seniors, and these guys are like all state and all county and all these great runners. And I was terrified. Like, I was absolutely terrified. I just wanted to hang with them. I was terrified. I was scared. I was just praying I'd be able to do it. This guy's running with the Philadelphia 76ers as a high school kid and like holding his own and doing it. Like, that's insane. And then the other thing, when he was in high school, that I really like is he would work out. I got to remember the specifics. I'm going to actually reread the book before it comes out. So I, you know, which is sad that you have to do, but you do have to do is he would work out and he drove from one workout to another workout place in the summer and made sure the heat in his car would be at full blast as he was driving just to build up his endurance. So like, I think he worked out at a track. It was like a 90 degree day outside in Philly, very humid, hot, gets in the car, blasts the heat all the way, drives to the other workout. Like, he did little things like that that were just absolutely insane all the time.
It's 1996 and you're Kobe Bryant. You have an unparalleled level of self-confidence. You've proven to yourself that you can run with the Sixers. And just a year prior, you watched as another high schooler, Kevin Garnett, got selected fifth overall in the 95 draft. So what does Kobe do? He becomes the first guard ever to skip college and enter the draft. And by the way, he was just 17 at the time. 17 years old.
Kobe, of course, gets selected 13th overall by the Charlotte Hornets, who immediately trade him to the Lakers for Vlade. Coming into that draft, everyone expected him to end up in LA, and we talked to a couple of people on the pod who were with teams in that year's lottery. First up, former Vancouver Grizzlies coach and GM Stu Jackson. The Grizzlies had the number 3 pick and ended up taking Sharif Abdul-Rahim. But we straight up asked Stu, why didn't the Grizz take Kobe Bryant?
You know, he was a high school player. We were a very young franchise. And, you know, I think to draft a high school player at that point in our development as a franchise would have really been going out on a limb, not having this player proven himself against, you know, a higher level of competition. Although I will tell you, you know, Kobe was extremely talented. But the other aspect of Kobe was he was not going to any franchise other than the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, he got drafted by a different franchise, but that quickly turned around and he ended up in Los Angeles. And everyone in the draft knew that at that point. So we didn't think that was an option for Kobe Bryant coming to a new country or to Vancouver to play basketball. So he was sort of off the board.
Leaving the country to play might not have been in Kobe's plans, but would he have played for the Dallas Mavericks, who had the 9th overall pick? Remember at the time, the Mavs had Jason Kidd running the point, and later in their careers, Kobe tried desperately to get the Lakers to trade for Kidd. Well, former Nets head coach Butch Beard was an assistant with the Mavericks in 96, and he told us that he thinks they had a shot at getting the high school sensation to come to Dallas.
Here's the best story of all, and a true story as well. I was an assistant coach with Jim Clemens and also at the Dallas Mavs. We're in the draft, and I asked the people who, you know, run the draft. I mean, all our scouts. I said, who's the best guy in the draft? They said, Kobe Bryant. He's a high school kid, but he's not, you know, he's not, you know, we don't know. We think he's going to be the best. And they didn't know whether at that particular time they were going to break up the 3J's, okay? So I made a comment to them. I said, why don't we bring him in and try him out? I know that the word was out there that he only wanted to go to L.A. I said, but I think he would want to play with Jason and Jimmy if you all think that he's going to be the best player in the draft. We were afraid to do that. We ended up drafting Samaki Walker. I'll never forget. I was running around all over, you know, working out Eric Dampier and some other players. And, you know, but I said, man, that's what we should have done. I sat there even those 5 minutes before we drafted. I said, we should draft this kid.
Why were they afraid to even not even to bring him in?
Because the word had gotten out there that he wasn't going to, you know, he wasn't going to work out for other teams and things like that. I said, I think he would come and at least give us a, you know, a look-see. I really do.
You can hear the rest of our Kobe Stories special on Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to the podcast today and hear part one on Tuesday, January 26th, and part two on January 28th. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network.